Hi, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to the most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of the world's most influential individuals. And this is all done with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter that is unique to Pete, the job guy Langlois. Take it away, Pete. Do the hustle!
Workers of Jacksonville and North Florida, you did it. You made a great decision today, and that is listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. This show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. We give you career advice and information to help you be more successful in your professional careers, to help you to have a more fulfilling professional career. That's what the show's about. I give you advice and tips. My guests come on, and this is probably my favorite part of the show. My guests come on each week. They tell you a little bit about their career journeys, and they explain the companies or the organizations they represent, and they make you think. And I always say this is where you grab a pen and pencil and take some notes down, because you're going to learn something and you're going to get some information of value. So really pay attention when my guests come on. When I'm talking, you know, it can go in one ear, out the other, it doesn't matter. But when my guests are talking, this is where you pay attention. If you're new to the show, there's two people that have been with me for a very long time, and they have important segments of the show. One is Eric Ross, and he does Common Sense Ain't So Common. Now, that segment of the show, Eric's going to tell you about a business scenario that actually happened, something that's going to leave you scratching your head saying, how can people be so dumb to do something like that? Eric doesn't even tell you about, he doesn't leave you hanging. He tells the story, but he also gives you tips and information to prevent you from being the person that story's about. And it's all done in a pretty funny and entertaining wrapper. The other guest on the show, Josh, what do we call him? Guest? I mean, it's Boston Danny, for crying out loud. And each and every week, Boston Danny tells us about the fair city of Boston, where he knows where every single cobblestone is. But he also does something special for you guys, and that is he gives shout-outs. So if you have a special someone that has a birthday, an anniversary, or maybe they just made your workday a little bit brighter and you'd like to say thank you or recognize them for that, you send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com. I take that email, I give it to Boston Danny, and he'll give your special someone a wicked piss a shout-out like only Boston Danny can. Also, our show producer is Josh McCarthy. I always say, Josh is slumming right now when he is the producer for our show, because he's big time in it now with a nationally syndicated radio show. But gosh, we've been doing this for over 4 years together, and I'm just pleased as punch that he's still hanging out here with me. Guys, if you know my story, when I got out of high school, college really wasn't an option for me. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I knew I had to do something, and I wanted to get away. I looked at all my different options, and the best one was to join the Navy. I enlisted in the United States Navy, and I'm going to tell you folks, it was the best thing that to set me on the proper path for my career. While I was in the Navy, and I got to go to school, and I earned college credits, but I was a jet engine mechanic aboard the USS Saratoga. I was stationed at Cecil Field, and then my second enlistment, I was in VP-30 at NAS. So I had the distinct pleasure of serving out of all three bases in Jacksonville, Cecil Field, NAS Jacksonville, and my ship was stationed at Mayport. So I served all of them, and while I was in, I also went to night school and weekends. I went to college, and the Navy paid 75% of my tuition while I was in. I enlisted a second time because I hadn't quite finished my college credits, and I was really having a very positive experience. I ended up getting a bachelor's degree when I was in, and I put an OCS package together. That's to go to officer candidate school. I was going to career it. Ultimately, I elected to get out of the military, but I I have lifelong friendships that I developed. I learned so much. Sense of mission, purpose, unquestioned reliability. I took all those things into private industry, and I've been very, very successful. And I'm thankful for the United States Navy to take a kind of a confused young man that really didn't know what he wanted to do with his life, but set forth, put me in a direction that helped me. And helped me in ways that, I mean, it made me grow up, but it prepared me. It prepared me with life skills and business skills and gave me a leg up on all the other folks in the private sector. And the Navy was one of the best things for me. And I share that information with you because some of you might be considering a career in the Navy or perhaps joining or maybe even a reserve type opportunities. So my guest today, and I'm really excited to share with you who my guests are today. And I have returning guest, Commander Jason Clemens with us today. Jason, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Thanks, Pete. It's great to be here.
And I should say welcome back, not just welcome, but welcome back to the show because you've been here a couple of times. Tell us more about what you do right now.
So right now I'm the Officer Programs Officer. I'm in charge of all of the officer programs for recruiting for NTAC Jacksonville, which covers basically the area from Savannah, Georgia, all the way down to Orlando and then across to Tallahassee, Florida.
Outstanding. And we have a second guest. This is very unusual, okay? Because it's rare. It's very rare. And like I say, Josh and I have been doing this about 4 years. It's always just one person. But we also have Navy Counselor, Petty Officer First Class, Emma Tinch. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
So right now, I'm an Assistant Division Leading Petty Officer in the East Jacksonville, Mayport, St. Augustine area. And my number one job is to help enlist civilians and get them ready to go to boot camp.
Oh, wow. Well, you and I got a lot to talk about.
All good things, I hope.
Right, right. We do, because you know what? I can't say enough good things about the United States Navy and what it did for this hardworking young man. But, Commander, tell us a little bit about what's hot right now. What are some of the career sectors that are offered within the Navy?
So the top three right now are going to be our special warfare programs for officers and enlisted, medical officers, and nuclear officers and enlisted. Those are the top three things that the Navy's really looking for right now.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the warfare. What is that?
So special warfare on the officer side is basically SEAL officers. We also have EOD officers, which is explosive ordnance disposal units. On the enlisted side, it's SEALs. We have special warfare combatant commands. Those are, if you're not familiar with those are the guys that are the ones who deliver the SEALs where they need to go, the SEAL delivery teams. They're the ones on the really cool fast boats with the really cool guns mounted on top of them. We also have the nuclear field, and those are smart guys. Those are the ones who run all of the nuclear reactors for the military ships and the Navy ships, submarines, aircraft carriers, that sort of thing.
It's kind of interesting because the SEAL programs, when you look at, I always watch all these videos on Stolen Valor. Okay, and everybody's an ex-SEAL. You know, I talked to, oh, yeah, I used to be a SEAL. Yeah. Hey, those are, and I can say this on this, they are some badasses. I mean, these are some people that are incredible. But and the nuclear, you got to be a brainiac, don't you, to qualify for some of those programs?
Absolutely. That's definitely one of the top-tier schools for education, for the pressure those guys are under. They put in a lot of work, but they pay off in dividends. They actually have some really good bonuses. So I know that on the enlisted side, those guys are pulling down some pretty decent bonuses for coming in and going to school and doing that. The big thing about the nuclear guys, though, is the opportunities they have after the Navy. If they do a full 20 years and retire, they basically write their check. They can go wherever they want to and do whatever they want to, and definitely don't have to worry about finding a job for the rest of their lives.
You know, it's incredible. As I had a friend of mine, his name happens to be Bobby. He got out of the Navy, and we've been lifelong friends, but I've been in the recruiting business for a lot of years in the private sector. I run staffing companies is what I did, and I met him as a candidate that was looking for an IT role, and I noticed he's former nuke in the Navy. So that really helped me. You know, we had great conversations, but when I sold him to the business. I said, hey, this is a nuke. This guy's, I'm not sure if you understand what this represents. This is the smarty pants of the smarty pants group in the room. And that really helped give him a leg up because I was able to communicate this. I want to go to Petty Officer Finch. Now, explain to me why you joined the Navy.
So I actually started off going to college. I went to college when I was 18 years old. I was skipping out on class. I didn't make it my full year through college. I wasn't ready.
Oh, I'm going to have you sit on the couch and tell me all about that.
There's stories for that. So I unfortunately had to go back home. And, you know, I was living with my grandparents. I was working at a gas station. They were making me pay bills. They put me back on a curfew. And so on a whim, I went and saw a recruiter. And 3 weeks later, I was in boot camp. And I've been in for 12 years now.
Do you know what's interesting? I had kind of a similar path. I was pumping gas at a gas station.
Yes.
I was living at home. And I knew I needed to get away. I wanted more. And I was just, I didn't know what that looked like. And I could not believe how many doors opened up.
So many opportunities.
In the Navy. What are some of the medical opportunities that are out there? Because you mentioned medical opportunities. What are some of those look like?
Well, right now we've got quite a few on the officer side that we're looking for very specific stuff. That's the difficulty of being in recruiting and looking for those medical folks who do those really specialized jobs. We're looking for oral surgeons, general surgeons, orthopedic surgeons, anybody that's in critical care, medical doctors that are in the critical care fields. We are also looking for general dentists. So it's pretty wide across the board. We have quite a lot of need for medical personnel to fill the ranks over time. You just have to get those qualified people, and they're hard to come by right now. With COVID, they're all pretty busy. They've got stuff they're doing. So it's really difficult to find those really talented and qualified individuals to come in and fill those medical positions.
This might sound like a dumb question, and I'm going to ask it. I don't know. Let's say I'm an oral surgeon, you know, very accomplished. Do I walk into the military with rank, or would I start as an ensign and move up? I don't know how that works.
Well, I mean, anybody that comes into the Navy obviously has to be physically qualified and meet all of the other basic qualifications. But if you're a qualified surgeon or something in the medical field that we're looking for, no, you can come in. We have people come in all the time as O2s, O3s, which is lieutenant junior grades, lieutenants. Since I've been in recruiting, I've seen people come in as far as full commanders. So they would outrank me day one. But they also get some really nice bonuses. I've seen bonuses upwards of $300,000,
$400,000. Wow.
Right now we're offering bonuses up to about $75,000, depending on the skill set of the individual coming in and their experience. But definitely coming in at elevated ranks beyond just starting off at the bottom. Nobody likes to start off at the bottom. These guys have already worked most of their careers to get where they are. So we definitely don't start them off at the bottom.
What about some of the enlisted opportunities in the medical field?
Take that one. So we have a job that's called corpsmen. They're HMs.
Oh, I know the corpsmen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're our docs out in the field. Marines call them docs. So there's different, just like on the officer side, there's different specialties. Mm-hmm. So we need radio techs. We need dental hygienists. Anything in the medical field really is a huge opening. And a lot of kids, that's something they want to do. No bonuses currently right now for that, but there are always opportunities.
All right. Now, what about some of the benefits of joining? There's a lot of benefits beyond, okay, look, it's competitive salaries, the competitive bonus programs, there's career tracks, there's all different specialties within it. What are some of the benefits of being in the U.S. Navy?
Well, just specifically talking about from a recruiting standpoint, if you're looking to go to college, pay for college, things like that. There's a pretty famous thing called the GI Bill. I'm sure you're pretty familiar with it.
Yeah, I am too.
That's how I got commissioned, was on the GI Bill. I did my time as an enlisted guy for a while, got out and went and got my engineering degree, and the Navy pretty much paid for all of it. I hate to say this, but I had a little extra money left over, so it was a pretty good deal. It's even better now. The benefits for the GI Bill are much better than they were pre 9/11. We also have collegiate programs and scholarship programs for people who are interested in the medical fields. We also have engineering programs where people can come in if they want to, you know, be in the Civil Engineer Corps and go hang out with the CBs. And my personal opinion, kind of the coolest group in the Navy. But there's definitely a lot of opportunities.
We're going to back up and say that you're an engineer. Right? I know that about you.
Definitely a CB. Yeah. But there are a lot of opportunities financially for educational purposes. You can go on the litany of things that are benefits for people in the military, the medical benefits, like you were talking about. Just the salary alone is competitive. Then if you come back and you look at the more non-tangible benefits, just like you said, the fellow who you had that came in was a nuclear engineer, fill out an application. Just having the Navy on your resume puts you in a class above and beyond the majority of the people who are out there right now looking for jobs.
Outstanding. Well, that music right there tells us we have to take a short pause and listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
Hey, Jacksonville, it's me, Angie Langlois, one of the managing partners here at Ascendo Resources in Jacksonville, Florida. Ascendo Resources is an award-winning, certified, minority-owned staffing firm that specializes in placing highly skilled professionals on a temporary, temp-to-perm, or direct hire basis. Call the true professionals at Ascendo today, because despite the current challenges, our talented recruiters can find exactly what you need. Call me, Angie Langlois, at 904-479-9610.
All right, welcome back, all you hard workers. That's our show sponsor, Ascendo Resources. I highly recommend you reach out to Angie, for all your staffing needs. I'm in rare form today, guys. My guests today are Commander Jason Clements from the United States Navy and First Class Petty Officer Emmer Tinch. Emmer, I say Emmer because I'm from Boston and we put these weird R's at the end of words that don't have them. Guys, if you listen to me, I say I saw it and I had an idea. And her name is not Emmer. It's Emma. Now, I'm going to ask this question. I know the answer for you, Commander, but my grandfather was in the Navy. He was a cook. He barely spoke English. He's from French-Canadian. My last name is Langlois instead of Langlois, as we pronounce it now, but he was a cook in the Navy. And then my dad was in the Navy. He was an aerographer, and he spent some time in there, a long line of enlisted folks. And then I enlisted as a jet engine mechanic AD, and I left as a second-class petty officer. Commander, do you come from lineage military?
Actually, yeah, quite a bit. I grew up over in the Pensacola area. The Navy's got a pretty big presence over there. My stepfather was a retired master chief. I had an uncle who was a naval aviator. So yeah, it's a pretty long line of people in my family who are in the military. It's actually easier to list the people who are not in the military, than it is to list those that were and the things that they've done. So we definitely have a long lineage and family history of military service.
Did your dad retire? I know he was a master chief, right? Is that correct?
Yep, he sure did. He retired in 78 after, just short of 26 years. He joined in 53, so he got to see a little bit of Korea and Vietnam and then retired in 78 when I was still just a kid.
Outstanding, outstanding. Petty Officer Tinch, were you, anybody in your family military?
So no one in my immediate family was. I have a couple of great uncles that were in the Vietnam War that lost their lives over there. And then my brother served in the Army for a couple of years, but he wasn't as strong as me, so he got out.
Oh, the shame. Tell us a little bit about your career. Like, what are you most proud of that you've done in the Navy?
I think something that stands out for me specifically, when I came recruiting, actually, I had a young girl. She was still in high school. She was in foster care, in and out of foster care her whole life. She didn't have a lot of things going for her. She didn't have the grades to get into college. And she had gotten to some trouble in her juvenile days. Mm-hmm. And so we worked really hard to get her waivers and get her in. And when she graduated boot camp, she called me crying, just so excited that she made it and that she had a new path and opportunities, you know, where she didn't at first. And the military just opened up this world for her. And she was on her way to Japan. So I told her to behave. I hope she did. But she went on a four-month deployment. And she saw more countries than I did in those 4 months. So
let me tell you something. Okay, now, I have been deployed all around the world. I was on the Saratoga. I crossed Gaddafi's line of death. I've been through the ditch into Diego Garcia. I've been to so many different countries and ports. Magaluf, Spain, in the mid-80s was off the hook. I was in a mechanical bull riding contest that I won, and I did cliff diving in Benidorm, Spain. I have seen the world and seen so many different cultures, and I was exposed to so much, and the Navy did that, and I am a shellback, right? I'm not sure if everybody knows what a shellback is, but when you cross the line of the equator, you go from being a polywog to a shellback. But the Navy did so much for me. I can't say enough about the Navy. Are there any right now, and Commander, are there any scholarship opportunities for those that are considering Navy?
Yeah, absolutely. They're called the Health Professional Scholarship Program. There's the Collegiate Program. There's a Civil Engineer Corps Collegiate Program. Those are programs that will actually pay you to go to school. And some of those, the scholarship program pays you to go to school. They pay your tuition. They pay your books. They give you a stipend of about $2,300 a month just for food and housing, just to live off of, because your sole job is just to go to school. The scholarship programs, on the other hand, the collegiate programs, on the other hand, those are set up to where you're actually already in the military, you're already accruing a time toward retirement, you're getting paid as a person in the military, and you go to school, and again, your entire job is to be at school and getting your degree completed. There's no requirement to be in a uniform, you don't have to muster, you don't have to do any of the things that you typically think of somebody being in the military, except go to school.
That's your assigned duty.
That
and
is
you get
all
paid.
You have to do, and you get paid for it. Absolutely,
it's unbelievable. Okay, now this is one that I'm going to ask because Petty Officer Tension. I'm going to ask you this as wife, mom type of thing for folks that are moms that might be thinking of a career change or joining the Navy. How does that work for you? And what are some of the challenges? Let's get that out there.
Yeah, sure. So I didn't join as a mom, so my values and stuff were a little bit different when I was younger. But I met my husband in the Navy. We went on to have three little boys. They're crazy. I don't recommend. I'm just kidding. It's a wild time. But some of those challenges are just, you know, I went on a deployment when my youngest was a year and a half. So being away from him was difficult. I was able to FaceTime him, spend time, you know, send packages home. I got to read books while I was on deployment to him. So he got videos of me, probably weren't the greatest, but, you know, he was able to do that. But some of the biggest benefits are, you know, I have a family of five. I pay $30 a month with no copays for medical insurance and dental insurance.
Wow.
Something that it's not realistic in the civilian side. You know, my husband has a civilian job, but he falls under my medical. So, I mean, those are just huge. And now that I'm a career recruiter, I don't deploy. So I'm mom's home every day with my kiddos.
How exciting.
And it is. It's amazing. But, yeah, the benefits, I mean, there's always challenges with any job that you have. But definitely the benefits for me have outweighed those challenges.
Outstanding. Let's get some contact information. I'll start with you, Commander. How can people learn more? How can they reach out to you? People are going to have questions.
The best thing that somebody can do is just literally go on to the internet and look up Navy.com. It has a plethora of information out there, different job sites that you can look at, different career fields that you can explore and see what fits your own personality and your own aptitudes. And then you can contact the United States Navy Recruiting Command in your local district. You can look up the address and the contact information for wherever you are. You put in your zip code, it'll give you the closest recruiting station to you. That's probably the best way to get a hold of somebody.
All right. I want to thank you both for being on the show tonight, today and sharing such great information.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. Guys, that music tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
All right. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Oh, and that little voice that you heard, hard worker with Pete the Job Guy, that is Adeline. That is Josh McCarthy, our producer's daughter, and she is so cute. And that's one of my favorite little parts, to just hear her welcoming us back from the break. Guys, if you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. Set your alarms. Get up earlier if you have to, because it's that important. But the first part of the show is where we have my guests on the show. And my guest today, and I butchered her name, and I am sorry, but it's Petty Officer Emma, not Emmer Tinch. And I said Emmer, and I said Finch, and it's Tinch, and I'm sorry about that. And she's a recruiter for the enlisted programs for the Navy, and she did a fantastic job telling us all about the different programs that are available. And I was really happy to hear her share about her personal experience as a mom in the Navy. She has three little ones. She met her husband while in the Navy. And just think about, this is the part that I love that she talked about, was she's got, you know, basically a family of five, right? And you think about benefits right now. I know, just because I'm in the business, I run staffing agencies. I've placed thousands and thousands of people in their jobs. I've had Eric Ross on the show, who runs 212 Benefits in town, that told me and educated all of us about employment benefits, employee benefits, and they can be extremely expensive. Right now, employers need to do more to entice candidates, right? It's a candidate-driven market. It's a candidate short market. And one way they can do that is to get better benefits. Well, nobody can beat the United States Navy when it comes time to benefits. You know, if you want to get on some benefit programs with employers to have a family of five, that might cost you $1,500 a month. Even if it cost you, let's say, $600 a month, you might have more substantial co-pays. It's unreal. But if you just heard Petty Officer Tinch tell you that she's like, you know, her out-of-pocket is like nothing. There's no co-pays. And it's just unreal. So the benefits are incredible. We also had Commander Jason Clements on the show. He's a returning guest. Now, he's been on a couple of times prior. I love hearing about what's hot. What are some of the programs that are hot in the Navy? And, you know, he just spells it like it is. Look, it's Special Warfare Officer and enlisted, medical officers, the nuclear programs, both officer and enlisted. If that's you, you should strongly consider joining the United States Navy, because some of their programs, their sign-on bonuses, their year-end bonuses, and just a career path within it, it's unreal. So you need to reach out if you're at all considering a career in the Navy. Look at your options. Look at what's out there. For me, I was just kind of a lost soul kid. You know, I was smart in high school. Like I said, college really wasn't an option for me. So I wanted to get away. I needed something more in my life. And there just, you know, there weren't the right kind of jobs for me, or any type of career track where I was that was appealing. I joined the Navy. I got to go from my freezing cold Boston. Now, nothing against Boston. And Boston, Danny, don't beat me up, okay? But Boston, I had to shovel a lot of snow, and it was freezing cold a lot of times. So I selected, you know, if I could get anywhere, where would you want to go? I said Florida, California, and my other choice was Hawaii. And I got Florida. I came to Jacksonville, Florida in 1984. And I have never left. So I remember Jacksonville BTC, and that's before the town center. I remember Jacksonville when Butler Boulevard was a two-lane east-west toll road. Okay, I've been here for a long time. But the Navy brought me here. And I went from being this kind of confused, kind of a punk, loud kid, to I transitioned into somebody that was ready to listen and ready to learn and see the world. And I saw the world. And then I decided, you know, there was someone that was a mentor to me said, Pete, you know, you should go to night school and weekends. And he kind of told me how to sign up. And I did. And the Navy paid 75% while I was in of my tuition. As long as I had a grade, I think it was B or above. It might even have been C. I don't know, because I got all A's. OK, I worked hard. But, you know, I would do my job and the Navy would let me leave a little bit early to go to college, and I would go to my night school or I'd go to my weekend school and I'd attend, and you know, and while doing my job. And I thought this is the greatest thing. So when I graduated, it took me a little longer because I was working full time and I had to go on a couple of cruises or deployments. But when I graduated at 5 years and 9 months, it took me to get a Bachelor of Science degree, I had zero student loan debt, zero. You know, and a lot of people now, you go to college, you come out with $80,000, $100,000 or more in debt because tuition is very, very expensive. Well, the Navy paid for that. I had paid benefits. I had, you know, I earned enough money while I was an enlisted person, and I worked my way up to second class petty officer. I bought a house in Mandarin many years ago. I had a really good thing going. I got out of the Navy, and you know what's funny is Commander Clements and I know him well because I tried to get back into the Navy just a few years ago. I'm way too old, right? And he's like, well, let's go through. Like, and went through the programs that were available. And he's like, you know, you're in great health. You've accomplished so much. Let's try to get an age waiver. Let's do. So we did. You know, I think I was 52 years old. Okay. I'm a long shot, extra. But we put together a great package. I had some letters of recommendation from some pretty special and accomplished people, so to speak. Then I had to meet some internal folks for the Navy, you know, base commanders, high-ranking folks that met me and also endorsed me and said that he would make an excellent reserve officer. And so we put a package together. It was denied, okay? I probably would have been the oldest ensign in the United States Navy, which would have been fine with me. And I told them going into it, I'll donate 100% of the money. That's not what it's about. I believe in the Navy. I like the feeling that I got. I want to help people. I want to serve this wonderful country. And you know, that was my motive. And I thought as an older person and more accomplished in business, especially as someone's been a career coach and running multi-million dollar businesses for over 20 years, I figured, you know, I got a little bit more to offer than a, you know, 18-year-old kid still wet behind the ears, so to speak. But, you know, I didn't make it in, but I'm going to tell you, Commander Clements, if you engage him, he's on your side. He'll take a look at your background experience. He'll shoot you straight. He's someone I have the utmost respect for, and I'm so proud and happy that he came back on the show with us today. Guys, this next part of the show is where we get a segment with Eric Ross. This segment is called Common Sense Ain't So Common. And if you haven't heard it before, Eric's going to share some information, or he's going to share a story with you that actually occurred out in business. He's going to change the names, but he's going to tell you about this, but then he's going to give you tips that'll help you not to be the person in the story, okay? With no further ado, let's get this week's episode of Common Sense Ain't So Common with Eric Ross.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, employees, bosses, and leaders, and all my fellow hard workers out there. Eric Ross here with 212 Benefits, bringing you this week's segment of Common Sense Ain't So Common, where we share stories and professional wisdom from other hard workers in the community. All those times in the office you think to yourself a coworker or a boss has a screw loose, rest assured you're not alone. Today we share a story on a professional superpower that is oftentimes neglected, even though it should seem like common sense. But hey, that's why I'm here, right? To reiterate that more times than not, common sense ain't so common. What is this superpower I speak of? This magical common sense nugget that is overlooked? The power of saying no. If I was a betting man, which I am not after losing every single bet I've ever placed on the Jacksonville Jaguars, I would confidently wager that every human being in the history of human beings has reluctantly said yes to something that they immediately knew they should have said no to. And a lot of these should have been no's occur in the workplace. Don't get me wrong, there have been plenty of times I should have said no. Like the one time I ate a bowl of mystery fruit jello from my son, huge mistake, or the time I volunteered to sit in on my kid's school carnival in a dunk tank when it was 44 degrees outside. But the no's I'm referring to are the ones that occur in the workplace and during your professional journey. I do believe this applies more and more the further you get in your professional career, but many times in your journey, you have to say no to good in order to say yes to great. Now, we all know you can't say no to everything. In fact, if you did, I'm not sure you would still have a job or a business to run and operate. I just mean that there are many times you say yes to a project, a customer, a meeting, a demo, a volunteer opportunity, a happy hour, or any activity that you immediately know you should have said no to. I recently had a story shared from a local CEO about her newfound superpower of no. She acknowledged that for her first 6 months in the position of CEO, she found herself saying yes to everything. Every meeting request, every demo request from a vendor, every marketing event, every lunch invitation, every single request for her time and attention was a yes. She quickly recognized that this trend could not continue and tried to do what initially felt so wrong. She said no, and then she said no again, and then she said no again. Not once was she ever disrespectful with her no's, and she did not say no to meetings and tasks that clearly deserved a yes. She was just more selective on her yeses and realized the superpower of no. Since then, she has found significantly more time to concentrate on her priorities as CEO and has seen her organization grow, as well as her employees and clients respect her more since being selective with her yeses. This CEO is so enthusiastic with the power of no that she has challenged all of her organization to start to say no. Not disrespectfully or all the time, but to confidently say no to the things that are not beneficial to these individuals in their positions or are complete time wasters. Again, I have to acknowledge that I am as guilty as anyone of saying yes to just about everything that comes my way. And I must emphasize that I am not for a second recommending that all you say is no. That just isn't a possibility. I'm just saying that the ability to say no is a personal and professional superpower, especially when you are confident it is common sense. But hey, common sense ain't so common. Remember, it is okay to say no, and to repeat this one more time, sometimes you have to say no to good in order to say yes to great.
Hey, Eric, you want to go grab a beer?
Yeah, why not? Let's go.
Friendly reminder for all you business leaders out there. If you have any questions about your employee benefits, please never hesitate to reach out to us at 212 Benefits. Until next week, don't forget, common sense ain't so common.
All right, another gem from Eric Ross. All right, that music right there tells us that we need to take a quick pause and listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
Hey, Jacksonville, it's me, Angie Langlois, one of the managing partners here at Ascenda Resources in Jacksonville, Florida. Ascenda Resources is an award-winning, certified, minority-owned staffing firm that specializes in placing highly skilled professionals on a temporary, temp-to-perm, or direct hire basis. Call the true professionals at Ascenda today, because despite the current challenges, our talented recruiters can find exactly what you need. Call me, Angie Langlois, at 904-479-9610.
Oh, that's our show sponsor, Ascendo Resources. If you need any type of recruiting help, you need a bunch of temporaries, or maybe you just need one, or you want to hire people on a try before you can buy basis and do the temp to perm route, call Ascendo Resources. Or if you want to do direct hire and you have a very specialized skill set and your ads are letting you down and other agencies tell you they can't find anybody, you call Ascendo Resources. They'll be happy to help you. Josh is flagging me down. He has something that he needs. What is it, Josh?
Well, I feel like I'm the voice of the people here, Pete. So whenever I get an important mailbag question, I want to make sure to try and get your full attention so they can get the qualified answer that only you can offer.
Well, you know, we got to give the people what they want. We so the to. People have spoken. And
right
what
here.
Have they said, Josh?
Right here, the people, or should I say person, and that is, of course, Mary in Middleburg. She's saying that due to the pandemic, as we all have experienced this past year, she has seen the benefits of working from home. because she's been doing remote working for the last year because her company, of course, like everyone else, shut down its doors. But she realized the benefits that can bring to her quality of life that working from home actually brings. And she doesn't know now that her company is opening back up if she wants to commit to 5 days in a corporate office again. And if there are a bunch of maybe positions that are frequently working from home, and just kind of any answer you might have for that. What companies are looking for work from home? Is it a wise choice to commit to working from home? And that much.
Wow. Wow. Okay. M&M, Mary from Middleburg. Okay. I see this a lot. Okay. And right now I see it a whole bunch because some of the COVID restrictions for a lot of companies have kind of, been reduced, right? People are going back to work. They might have for the last year. What have they been doing? They've been working remotely and working from home. And now the doors are back open. They need to go back in, you know, an 8 to 5 it at the office. But people got a taste of no commute. They got a taste of working from home. And, you know, maybe, you know, all of a sudden, you know, child daycare is a little different, or picking up your kids from school is a little easier. And life just got so much easier for a lot of people. And yet they maintained a high level of productivity, right? And then the companies say, no, we need to come back to work. Well, I'm going to say to all you companies out there, be careful. Be very, very careful. And if you can at all have people work remotely, and even if it's hybrid, having sometimes people come in the office periodically, but the majority of work at home, as long as people maintain their productivity, I think employers should strongly, strongly consider that. Because in the North Florida market, you employers, not only are you competing against other North Florida companies, but there are all these remote jobs in Chicago, in Boston, in Atlanta. You're now competing with all these employers that are in different states. And sometimes their wages are even higher to work remotely. You know, and I'm just telling you, it's going to happen to you. So be careful about telling people, no, everybody has to come back to work. Now, depending on what the job is and the scope of responsibilities, you may only be able to do it in person. But I urge you as an employer to strongly consider Mary's point. Her work-life balance is now in check, and she is one of those candidates that's mature enough to handle the responsibility of working remotely. Strongly consider that, Mary. I'm glad you asked that question. That was a great question. This next segment is one of my favorites. I say that about a lot of my segments, but this is where we get Boston Danny, and he's going to give us a Boston update, but he's also, he does shout-outs. So if you have a birthday, an anniversary, or perhaps you have someone that made your workday a little bit brighter and you'd like to recognize them for that and give them a shout out, just send me an email. Send your email to Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. I'll put that email in Boston Danny's hands and he will give your special person a wicked piss a shout out like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, let's get this week's Boston update with Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Northern Update. Well, I've been telling you the weather up here in October has been pretty weird. We got this Indian summer. It just doesn't want to quit. It's almost turning into a second summer. We're flirting with 80-degree temperatures, and at night it's not getting that much cooler. And, you know, the humidity's perfect. It's great working weather. We'll take it. But, you know, we need those cool nights, those warm days to get the trees to start shutting down and, you know, give us those vibrant fall colors that we're very famous for. And it's just slow coming around up here this week. I'm kind of bummed out I closed my pool. I could have left it open a few more weeks if I knew what was going on. But that's the chances you take with it. And believe me, this is great weather. I'll take it as it comes because I know what comes around the corner. Those cold winds and those temperatures, they'll just tear you apart up here. You think you know cold? Come on up here for a deep freeze in January, and you'll love it. But you know it doesn't surprise me. And you know what else doesn't surprise me in October? Is the Boston Red Sox. You know, we gave the Yankees their death blow. We got into the ALDS, the division series with Tampa Bay. I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous. Tampa Bay is a great organization. They came up here and, you know, we handed it to them. We took the division and we're getting ready to start playing the championship. We figure out who we're playing and we'll go this weekend with it. And it's It's going to be a good time, folks. You'll get to watch us in the World Series again. Cheer on the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox Nation, it's all over. It's a great thing to do. And this segues, you know, once we get done with this, you know, always the Boston Bruins. They're putting out a great product. We're very excited with their thing. You know, hopefully we'll be in the Stanley Cup Finals again this year. Maybe we can show what's for. And, you know, just bring home some trophies for us. The Patriot, they had a great showcase for Mac Jones against Houston last week. He did very good. You know, we came away with a win. You know, it was ugly, but we took it. But, you know, Tom Brady did the same things for us. He can win them ugly, too. And everyone's excited about how he's doing down in Tampa Bay. But, you know, we're waiting on the Celtics. They're going to throw up a good product, and they'll put it up on the parquet. So stay tuned, folks. So, guys, instead of the shout-outs this week, I'd like to pay a tribute to Pete's special friend that passed away suddenly after a very brief battle with cancer. The world lost a special person. Buddy Ward was one of the best friends Peter has ever had. Buddy and Pete were inseparable from the sixth grade until Pete left for the Navy. Buddy will be deeply missed by his friends and family, but his memories will certainly live on in the hearts of many people from Tewksbury, Massachusetts, and beyond. Rest in peace, Buddy Ward, a great man on a greater journey. Well, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy your Sunday. Remember your first responders, your doctors, your nurses, your military, retired, and active duty, and just enjoy the Sunday. And remember, go Red Sox!
Boston Danny, thank you so much for talking about Buddy Ward. And Buddy, he was my best friend. He's somebody I'll never, ever, ever forget. All through high school, I mean, there's just nothing I can say. I'm heartbroken for his daughter, Olivia, for his family, who I know well, and I know how much they loved and respected their brother. I mean, he was the protector of Jill, and he was a real stand-up guy. He's a hard worker. This show's called Hard Worker for folks like Buddy Ward, because he was a hard worker right up until the end. He loved his daughter so much, and I know that. And he and I have so many memories. I mean, I could go on and just talk about this guy, but you know, I want all of you to think about this, because Buddy died suddenly. You know, his prognosis from the time he found out he what was going on was about 3 or 4 days of life, and the quality was greatly diminished. He went downhill quickly. But you know what? I want to remember him as the big, strong guy that was just a special someone in a lot of people's lives. Today and every day, remember to let your loved ones know they're loved. Let people that you care about know you care about them, because anything can happen at any time. Guys, you just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV. Rest in peace, buddy.